Wait, let me look that up on the internet real quick.
TagCastPodcast.com.
Today's episode is brought to you in part, as always, by Complete Ag Resolutions, offering you the best solutions in your agricultural needs. Check them out at www.facebook.com/Complete Ag Resolutions.
Hello, this is Flames from Crimson Guardian. Amazon.com has some amazing deals, and you can help support the TagCast podcast by going to their site, TagCastPodcast.com. And click on their Amazon link on the top of their page. It'll help support the show and keep it running. Have a fucking great day.
Extra special thanks to Rock Out Radio for airing classic TagCast episodes on their free-for-all Fridays. A block of podcasts they play. We air at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, but the block starts at 6 p.m., we encourage our listeners to check out all of the shows on rockoutradio.com.
And now it's time for the TagCast podcast with Terry and Gatch. My name's Terry Guile.
I don't like your jerk off name. I don't like your jerk off face. I don't like your jerk off behavior. And I don't like you jerk off.
See, because I paid a link for weed like in the 70s and I never got the real one back.
You just got tagged.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
And his name is Dustin Gatchel.
I heard in Hawaii, your spam email is your good email.
The TagCast podcast starts right now.
Sometimes people cry while they masturbate.
Welcome to the TagCast Season 2, Episode 1.
That's right. Just one more episode.
Yes, one more step.
Yeah, we're back to the number-themed intro song.
Yes.
And this is One More Stitch by a band called Victims of Internal Decay, originally recorded by Green River. Remember those guys?
Fantastic band.
Yeah. Hey, who are we?
I am Gatch.
He's the Indian.
The Indian of the season.
And I'm Terry Guile, the season white guy. Yeah, we made it all the way through 27 regular episodes, 7 bonus episodes. So we had 34 episodes. We're shooting for 39 this season.
Yeah.
Probably going to be over 40 with our bonus live episodes that we're going to be recording at various places.
I'm excited, though.
Yeah, me too. This is a fun time.
Yes.
I'm glad you guys, at least whoever's listening, is listening, because when I go out places, people say, dude, I heard this, or I heard you talking about this, and it makes me feel warm inside.
I know, it's
to,
cool.
To know that people are listening to me, and we constantly get new, not constantly, but we get new listeners. My wife invited a friend out to Vermintfest a few weeks ago, and she was a girl that we met at the country fair who was in our camp. And then the guy that she was with, who's on the crew, ended up breaking up, but she still wanted to be friends with us, and that's cool. So she came out, and now she just posted on her thing that she likes us.
That's
and
cool.
She's glad to be a new listener and that she's enjoying it. So that's
right
pretty
on.
Cool.
That's awesome. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, Kathy. Thank you, Kathy. Awesome. But, you know, I think we only gained 2 likes since the last episode. I was kind of bragging it up. And somehow you sent me a thing that said I should go like the page. And I was like,
well, I know, yeah.
I like it. But I think somehow it just got unliked. And then when I went there and liked it, it was still the same number of people.
Huh.
So I think
I think
it just lost a like somewhere.
You know, when you go to a page you admin over there, it says invite these people.
Yeah. All of a sudden I popped up.
And since I've invited everybody.
Yeah, no one comes up.
No one comes up.
Yeah,
and then
unless you get a new friend.
Yeah. I've seen you and Danny over there, and I was like, what?
Yeah, I used to like that, but I don't anymore. No, but then when I went there, yeah, like I said, I clicked like, and then I looked at the number of likes, and it was the same amount. Yeah. So
it must
I think
have just been an error. I think sometimes that happens, because I see that on other pages, too.
Yep. So now we're up to 105. The two new likes are Lisa Maxwell and Terry and Dana Guile. So that's kind of cool.
That's awesome.
I like myself. Apparently, Kathy, if you're listening, you didn't go like our page yet. So naughty, naughty. Go click like. I mean, our insight graph looks like a big mountain that I drive past on the way out here. And we need it to be not the side view of a mountain where you can see the whole thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's like there's
a big
peak in the middle and we're kind of waning. Not that Facebook even means anything, but we do appreciate the people who check us out on there.
Sometimes we ask for questions and comments.
Hey, I got some today, actually, to personal account from our buddy up in Portland, Crosby Ringer.
Uh-huh.
We'll get to that in a bit. I'd like to thank Crosby and Verla and a couple other friends for coming out this weekend to the Twilight Cafe. Bikini played up there with Jeremy Rose band Deaf and Oceans, but it wasn't his band. It was just him, which was cool.
Yeah.
He just did a solo set, which was different, but awesome. Give me my pick back, dude. He borrowed my pick.
Uh-oh.
And then, actually, we left kind of early because we wanted to get an early start so we could run out of gas on the way home from Portland.
Yeah, that's always fun.
Did you hear about that?
No, I hadn't.
Saturday night, Jake and I were driving back from Portland, and right about the Deaver Connor exit, I ran out of gas in the van. So we called his wife, who has a newborn at home, to come bring us some. She was totally cool. She left the baby home. With Nolan. And she came out and brought us some gas at like midnight. Actually, what we were trying to do is we were trying to make it back to the Dixie to catch Norska.
Uh-huh.
And we felt so bad because we knew we weren't getting paid much because no offense to the Twilight Cafe, but there's a lot of shit going on in Portland, so there wasn't very many people there. But extra special thanks again to Verla and Crosby and the other people that came with them. Phil Golding showed up.
Nice.
So thanks for coming out, you guys. But we knew we weren't getting much money. I think Jeremy said that he's got $15 for us, which covers about a third of the gas in the van. But, you know, that's not why we're doing it. But the point is here is that we bailed without saying goodbye to Crosby. Uh-huh. Sorry, Crosby. Sorry, Verla. But it's just hard to say goodbye.
It is.
And sometimes when you got to go and you got to make an excuse, like we got to go home and run out of gas first so we can have Jake's wife get out of bed and come give us some gas.
And Ms. Norska.
So we were that close. Like right before we ran out of gas, he's on the phone with his friend Milo saying, who's playing? Oh, the second band's going to get done pretty soon. And we were just like almost to Albany. So we were going to make it. Until the van started sputtering. And so my van gauge, it's only the second time I've ever ran out of gas. The other time was about 5 years ago on the way to school one morning, which is always awesome.
Uh-huh.
Clear down by Eugene. But anyway, that was that little story. What'd you do this weekend?
Well, I was actually at that Norska show and saw, Norska. Excellent as always.
I bet it killed.
Yeah. And
I saw a video online from some guy named Superfan Jared.
Nice, nice. And Nether Regions, great band. I really enjoyed those guys.
I've been wanting to see them, and I haven't got to yet.
Yeah, that was a fantastic show, as well as Diesto.
Saw those guys about 4 or 5 years ago at Samurai Duck, rest in peace.
Uh-huh. They were selling all their gear for $5.
They were selling their gear? Oh.
T-shirts.
I thought they were selling their guitars and their amps.
Man, I would have been on that. Man, three guitars they had, and one I think plays through like a bass amp or at least a bass cab.
And a Fender, like a Telecaster, or was he playing a Jaguar this time or something?
Something that had like three humbuckers going on.
Yeah, I think he...
Like three chrome...
I think he mods them out himself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not... Don't quote me on that.
Yeah. But still, they had a sound that...
Dude, they're monstrous. Yeah.
Yeah, and that whole night was loud.
Yeah.
And tore Tangent down.
Awesome. I could tell by the video that there was a pretty good crowd of people standing in around the stage, which
is there's a good solid crowd.
Awesome.
This mic that I'm using here was actually show used at the mic. are at the show.
Wow.
What?
Who spit on that?
Used? I'm not sure. I think it was a little bit of the, maybe some drums.
Oh, right on. Yeah, so I've been wanting to check out Nether Regions, and their bass player, Joseph, I don't know if he goes by Joe, but on Facebook, which is where he's my friend, he goes by Joseph, he wants to dabble or attempt to start dabbling in stand-up comedy. And so we talked about that on previous episodes from season one.
Is this
one.
The singer from Nether Regions?
No, the bass player. I don't think he sings. Does he sing and play bass?
Yeah, the bassist.
Okay. Yeah, the bassist.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Joseph Wickstrom.
Oh, right on. I was just...
Did he tell any jokes in between songs or anything? Say witty stuff? Witty stage banter? I can't remember.
Yeah, I will say that there was... He played with the crowd a little bit.
Yeah, and
he was comfortable with the crowd, and he really played up being in tangent, I recall. I'd been drinking a couple drinks, but yeah.
And you're
he
hearing...
had a good delivery and stuff, so I'd say...
Yeah,
and
so,
he was a, you know, I talked to those guys, all the guys from both, over all three bands, obviously, cool dudes. But yeah, I was Facebooking with him today,
sweet.
You know, trying to get him some airplay on Sick Daddy Radio and some other internet radio channels.
Awesome. Yeah, go ahead.
Rock Out Radio.
Oh, yeah, I heard we got a good kind of a response from that, and I read, and I don't know, it's probably like our friend Rod Black, he has an internet radio station that's pretty much live DJs, I believe, don't quote me on anything today, because it's the first episode of season two, so, but they have a thing that you probably would know how it works, because you're our gadget guy, technical gadget guy, where you can see how many people are listening, or logged in, listening to this channel. And they said that there was like 12 or 1,500 people listening on Friday?
Yeah. I saw numbers of 500 at one point, and I think the total was 1,250.
Yeah, that's what it was.
During the whole broadcast of the free-for-all block, and it starts at 6 p.m. Eastern time,
so
and then
go
it just goes
three,
until
yeah.
the end. We go on at
3
11.
Here. Oh.
11 Eastern time, so it's like 8. I had actually got the schedule down for this week, so it's in 8 o'clock is when we're kind of scheduled. But last week, I'd gotten home just in time to click in and hear The Last of Ours, and great response, I thought. And,
was it the Metal of 1981?
The Metal of 1984 with Jerry Murphy, the first bonus.
Oh, okay, cool. Right on.
Yeah, I chatted in there with a few of them, and they were really seeming to enjoy it. And we're going to continue to do that. But it's rockoutradio.com, and the
with
rock
no
is yeah. R-O-K.
By the way,
outradio.com.
You said semen.
Yeah. They are based in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I heard Dwight Schrute is a big fan.
They got a beet farm out there.
Dude, they rock it on the beet farm.
Yep.
It's
yeah,
the rock
that's
beat.
That's awesome.
Everybody loves the rock beat. In Scranton. The only person that doesn't like Rock Out Radio is that dick Toby Flenderson. I hate That's that awesome. Guy. No, I feel sorry for Toby, actually.
Lloydwick Promotions, too, is doing some big awards thing.
Have I saw that. Now, what is the... I saw a lot of them, but what is the weight of it? Do you just get an online award?
No, he's going to actually send... I'm actually working with him... on the awards. I should get my words in the correct order. But yeah, we're going to send out like paper certificates at least, and maybe a little bit more. It's more his thing, but he asked me to be a part of it, and I thought that was really cool. He's going to give out 100 different awards.
Yeah,
50 of them are going to be for voting, and then he's just going to go ahead and dish out 50 himself. He wants everybody to be a part of it, and he's doing a great job. It's a great... I could not be that organized for sure.
I'm amazed at the amount, the numbers of bands that he has, that he plays and promotes. And good job,
it's
Lloyd.
Like
it was
500 or something like that.
I met him, I think, at the Wow Hall again when we played, and he didn't quite remember meeting me at the Blackout Forest, which is what I'm going to constantly call it, because all of my friends that I go there, they claim Blackout. I went in the girls' bathroom. Oh, that was you.
Yeah,
oh, wait.
That was
me. Jared actually did that, too, and got in trouble for trolling. in front of the girls' bathroom, like, I don't know, maybe waiting for girls to come out and smell their fingers. I don't know. You get away. He was like, I'm just waiting to get in the men's room. But yeah, so good job, Lloyd. I saw Sons of Confusion was up for best lyrics. I saw you were up for best promoter.
Well, it was a rep of the scene, which I think is a different than promoter.
Well, you're representing.
Yeah, yeah. I considered. Well, I guess
you're representing the 541.
I do. I branch it out on the online bus, you know, and I voted
bus.
For Carl myself.
Yeah, and I saw you said, "Hey, I'm up for this award. Go vote for Carl or Jared."
Yeah, yeah. Because you know.
Yeah, you gotta can't be shamelessly self-promoting always.
For an award, yeah.
So yeah.
And, you know, it's also just a good see what's out there in the local music scene and how active it is, and
right,
and it's a good thing.
Yeah, and speaking of the music scene and awards and stuff that like that, I know most of you, a lot of you think that we're from the Eugene area, which compared to Portland, yes, we are in the Eugene area, but mm-hmm. we're basically in Albany. I don't know if you're aware of where that is, but and I live in a small town called Brownsville. I know we don't have a lot of country music fans, but we did have some award-winning, million-seller country folks in this town. And you got to check it out, dude. There was like 30,000 people in Brownsville.
And this is to me.
Brownsville, by the way, for anyone's listening who doesn't know what Brownsville is a small town with a population of 1,700 people. And over 20, I'm not going to say for sure if it's 30, but over 20,000 people came to that thing.
Yeah.
And it's 3 miles past Brownsville off the freeway, so everyone has to come through. So Friday night, no, it was Thursday night. Thursday night, I'm at the car wash, my business, which is right on the highway.
Uh-huh.
And the highway is in between the gas station, which, by the way, loser, the owner of the gas station is so screwed up and he's losing his business, but he was out of gas for the whole weekend. He had no gas for sale, and there was 20,000 people. There's another gas station on the corner which doesn't get nearly as much business as the Chevron, just because the Chevron is a Chevron and it has a food mart and it has the swiper things. It has the other station has the old pumps with the numbers and it's got they're old school pumps. Well, they got a shit ton of business this weekend because of that. Now, here's my story. The Brownsville is like 3.5 miles from the freeway.
Uh-huh.
The Country Music Festival is an additional 3.5 miles down Highway 228 to the east. Traffic was backed up to a stop and go like you would see on the 205 in Portland from the festival to the freeway.
Wow.
6.5 miles, 7 miles of backed up traffic.
That's
just
nuts.
And you know, we're talking Martina McBride, the band Perry,
Trace Atkins,
all these top sellers.
This is the thing to me is that it's like 2 weeks ago there was the other huge country jamboree in this area, which draws huge names like the Judd,
Charlie Daniels Band was there this year.
And I was saying today at work, I was like, how many big time country music festivals do we need in this area? Just because there's sheep out here.
I think two is enough.
Yeah.
Two is probably too many, but I know that there is a big demographic of those rednecks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Well, both those towns get. I mean, Sweet Home, there's maybe, what, 17,000 if you're lucky?
Oh, no, 9,000.
9,000?
It's the size of,
and they
say,
get like 20,000 there, too, of, of the fans.
Well, this is their 21st year, so they've really been building. The Jamboree has been. This is only the fifth year for the Willamette Country Music Festival, which is just in a field, and it's just crazy, dude, but it's awesome.
Camping was sold out since December.
What is awesome about it,
December.
Is that it brings a huge influx of revenue into the little town of Brownsville, which is awesome.
That is awesome.
My car wash saw an influx of at least, over the weekend, a three-day weekend, at least 60% over normal as far as increase, which I can count on
so
weekends.
So an extra 60 cents every dollar?
I can count on extra revenue whenever there's the mud flat races.
Uh-huh. Does that do better than if there's the jamboree?
It's about the same, but we have, like, every day that they have those, they've got, like, trailers backed up down the road, parked on the side of the road, waiting to get in, which is just awesome for us. So, thanks to the rednecks, but I'm sure glad you're gone because you clogged up our town. I actually bailed the whole weekend just because I don't want to be around. And the cops get called, and I'll get to that story later. But I left town Friday wanting to get away from the rednecks and the country music, which you could actually, you could go out onto my front porch and hear.
Yeah.
Jason Aldean playing.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know either, but he's apparently some popular country guy. Next year, they got Carrie Underwood and Brad Paisley, which are two of the most kind of household names in country music today.
Hell yeah.
But I don't give a goddamn about them. So I left town, right? And we drove up to Portland, and I was super excited for this show at the Baghdad Theater, the legendary historic Baghdad Theater in Portland. Where
all the way is like in the Middle East, right?
Oh, no. This is in Middle East Portland.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not even Middle East Portland. It's on Hawthorne. It's just three blocks from the Hawthorne Theater. Yeah, and a lot of cool people have done comedy there that I would love to say. Oh, I've already done it there twice, but this was my first Friday night. I was getting a couple extra minutes of time. Tristan, the guy who books it, thank you, buddy. He actually put my picture on the flyer after I sniveled a little bit about not being on it. And then I get there, half hour early, 9:30. Go up to the door, and there's these white computer printout papers all over the front door and all over the register and all over the walls that say, sorry, the comedy show has been canceled so we can view The Hunger Games at 10:30. Because they show retro movies there that are already out on video or like Pulp Fiction sometimes, you know, like cult movies and just movies that have just came out on video.
I have no idea what that is.
I don't either, and I don't even care. One person told me that it was something to do with vampires, and then someone else said it was like the Running Man game.
I think it's a story about...
idiots.
No, Eddie Vedder. He's going hungry, but he doesn't mind stealing bread.
Oh, it was Chris Cornell and Eddie Vedder. It's the story of Chris Cornell and Eddie Vedder.
They were playing Scrabble, but they were both hungry. And so, but they were betting their only loaves of bread against each other.
That's
so
right.
So they couldn't eat until the game was done.
Yeah. Wow. That's a deep... That you just got real on us. You fucking zenned us out right there. He's fucking Buddha.
That might be a good time to go to...
They canceled the comedy show, and then at the bottom it said, signed Baghdad Management, names withheld to protect ourselves, I think is what it said. because they knew people would be pissed. So I went in there and I had to piss because we didn't stop at the rest area because I didn't want to take a chance of being late. So I walked in and I said, hey, to this nice lady who was standing there. She's a girl, not a lady. A lady is older. This was a girl. And I said, hey, do you know when the comedy show got canceled? And she said, no, I don't. Just like that. And I was like, well, that's weird because I just got a message today from the guy who booked the show saying that it was on. And I just drove all the way from Eugene to perform. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. She was kind of reminding me of a Saturday Night Live character at first.
Ooh, oh, I'm sorry.
That sucks. And I was like, yeah, do you think I could use your bathroom? And she's like, yeah, do you want a piece of...
Ooh, I don't know.
No, she's all, oh, totally. Do you want a piece of pizza? And I was like, you know what? I do want a piece of pizza, but I really have to pee because I've been in the car for 2 hours.
And so I went
and took a piss, and then I came back out, and I got my piece of pizza, and then I ate a piece of pizza, and then went to the hotcake house and ate French toast and fucking eggs and bacon.
See, what would have been a nice skit, though, is if she would have denied, like...
Bye-bye.
You have to take the piece of pizza now before you go into the bathroom. It's not valid after you come back out.
Yeah, if you don't take it now, and I just whipped out my dick and pissed on her and ate my pizza... But anyway, you know, I know that it wasn't any fault of Tristan's, and he's already offered me a reconciliation, if you would call it, restitution, whatever, in the form of a performance in the future, which I will be introducing the date at a later time. But yeah, so the comedy show got canceled, and luckily all the other comics were from Portland, so it wasn't a big deal. Grace Sadie complained because she didn't have to put pants on after all. And then I said, I know. He just turned off the fan. Hope you guys didn't mind the fan in the background, but it's hot out here. So anyway, we went to the hotcake house, we ate, and then we came home. So that was kind of a bummer, but not too bad. So
a hotcake house is always a good thing unless you eat too much of it.
Yeah, and I was going to try to do some DJ on the old jukebox, but a dude beat me to it, and I didn't want to accidentally play Justin Timberlake again. So
they played George Strait before Nether Regions went on.
Wow. Who was running sound, Chris?
Well, it was from that jukebox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It was funny because I think the guy's name is Scott.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about? With the glasses, Dean's friend, Scott.
Does he run sound?
No, he's down there all the time, though. He plays pool.
Hmm.
Kind of a balder head, glasses.
Yeah.
Kind of always wears the cutoffs. But he was really enjoying Nether Regions. And then after Nether Regions finished, he stood right up there in the middle of the floor and said, "Boy, it's going to be hard to follow those guys."
Oh, whoa.
No, I think the next band was setting up.
Diesto, yeah?
Yeah, and then Diesto, about halfway through their set, he was there in the middle of the floor and he said,
"That's okay.
Damn, I'd hate to follow these guys."
You know, you got to be diplomatic that way. Like, there was a comedy competition I was in once that Jesse Priest, actually both of them that I was in, Jesse Priest in one, he said the same introduction. "A good friend of mine, a very funny person, and I'm sure he has what it takes to take this whole thing." And I was the first guy up. So when he said that, I was kind of feeling good about myself because I was like, man, he thinks I can win this.
Yeah.
And then he proceeded to say that forever. And then Ian Carmel, who I got to check out again this weekend or on Monday, he introduced everyone as, "The next performer coming to the stage has asked me to introduce him as a force of nature." Which, and then he did that for all 20 of them, so that was kind of cool. But anyway, what segment do you want to hit first here? We're going to hit our first segment, besides just blabbering about the weekend.
We can do Hans' CD player.
Okay, I can do that. I will have to pull it up real quick, but that is not a problem for me. In case you don't know, we've told you before, but you might be new to the show. Hans is a guitar player for the band that we started the episode with.
Mm-hmm.
Victims of Internal Decay. Now he is a resident troll in the band Griefhammer. And good luck to you, Hans, with your back. It's feeling better. He said the back is kicking ass because his back was out and we had to miss practice last week. So today, I think you will enjoy this pick, Dust. Roger Waters, Amused to Death.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I like that album.
WTF on my part.
I've listened to it a half a dozen times or a little bit more, maybe.
Yeah.
Used to own it, even though, man, Roger Waters had some weird, crazy stuff.
He did.
Other than Amused to Death, he had that, Music from the Body, which was very weird and was just like recording sounds that the body made and then
whoa,
he turned
like
it into sounds.
And like stuff like that.
Yeah. And then I vaguely remember, well, not vaguely, but I probably gave the most of the solo listening of Roger Waters to the pros and cons of hitchhiking.
I kind of like that because
that one had some good songs on it.
I believe that was early to mid-80s, was it?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's when I was listening, as you constant listeners will know, I was listening to a lot of KGON back then.
Uh-huh.
And I believe KGON...
KGON, Take Me Away.
92.3, KGON, Take Me Away. They used to play those full albums of new shit coming out, and I would record them on my boombox on a cassette and listen to it later.
Boom, boom.
It was the earliest form of pirating music. And even though you'd get a little fuzz because I'm trying to get a Portland station in Brownsville, mm-hmm. still, I had that on cassette, and I listened to it quite often, actually. It was a good album. I have not heard Amused to Death, but now that Hans has said he listens to it, I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah.
But
it is a little bit off the wall, though.
You know what we did forget to do, and even while we were talking about the great show at the Dixie, is let people know that they're back on board for sponsoring the show. So
thank
if you guys want to go down to the Dixie, they've got so much good stuff going on every day. Mm-hmm. Any day of the week that you want to go down there, you like breakfast on
I would like
weekdays?
To go down there on Wednesday.
What's going on Wednesday?
I do believe it's the singer-songwriter night. No, that's Blues Jam Bill night.
Yeah, Blues Jam Bill night is Wednesday. Last night was singer-songwriter night.
Yeah, Tuesday nights is singer-songwriter night.
And those have been going on outside on the back deck because that's the weather permitting.
It's been nice outside, and I bet you get a nice little breeze through there.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
you can
it might
hear
affect
the Dixie Creek running under you.
Yep. Yeah.
Bring your swimwear, kids.
It doesn't run under that place?
That's what they say, but people, I've had people from out of town going, the place is called Dixie Creek and there's not even a creek. And they say it runs actually under the, but it might have been a joke.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dixie Creek Saloon, thank you guys for kicking in some more sponsors. Go out and check them out. Go get breakfast from them. They're open at 7 a.m. every weekday.
Yep. And children are allowed if you take your children's in there.
You can take your chillins in there and chill out till 7. Yep. Just keep them out of the gambling in the pool area.
Yeah.
Because the pool's for adults.
Yep. No. Yeah, I think like the water kind of pool.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you can bring them in there. You can have some beers. They can have some Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they serve Kool-Aid. You can get them some pop. Get them some water from the Dixie Creek.
I had what was really nice is you get some Sprite, I think is what they got on tap.
Yeah.
Slice, Sprite.
7-Up-y Coke.
Yeah, and then you get a fresh lemon wedge in there. Maybe even a lime wedge, too.
Very
That's
nice.
Very refreshing on a nice summer day.
I've been taking advantage of lime slices with my tacos lately that we get from the place in Halsey that I'm not going to name because they didn't pay no money.
Lime but, slices on your tacos.
Yeah. You don't put them on there, but you just squeeze it and maybe it's kind of like after a shot of tequila.
Mm-hmm.
You take a shot of a taco and then you suck the lime.
Yeah.
I saw
the other day what you do with grilled corn. You grill your corn and then you take the lime and you just rub it on the corn like really hard.
And then you butter it up after that?
I'm not even sure if you butter it.
Yeah, after
maybe
that.
You do.
Maybe
I don't
salt
know.
And lime. Put a little salt on it.
Yeah, and all you just maybe you just soak it in tequila after that.
That's what I would do.
Jungle corn.
Yeah. Riba. You crazy Mexican Indians going nutty on the reservation. But yeah, and speaking of sponsors, even though we do run a little ad at the beginning of every episode, because this is the season one, we'd like to shout out to Complete Ag Resolutions.
Yeah,
Stan Cusick and the crew keeping us going through season two.
Hell yeah.
With their generous donations. And, you know, this is nothing against you, Stan. I know that you're listening. I just have faith in you, my brother. But I was on my way to the podcast today, and I got caught behind some very good working farm equipment that I thought you might have it worked good, except they drive fucking slow. And then there was a bunch of traffic coming the other way, and then there was some big truck behind them that didn't have anything to do with farming, but he was too big to pass. And then this big old dude who might have been a leftover from the country music festival with a truck that was way too huge, like passed, and like the car coming towards us had to slow down and stuff. So I just wondered if there's any listeners out there who might get annoyed at slow farm equipment on the rural roads, because every once in a while you'll get stuck behind a windrower or a hay baler or a combine or some fucking bullshit.
Maybe they need more turnoffs for them so you can whip around them.
I'm telling you, this dude had plenty of places where he could have just like pulled off.
He was just being rude.
He was probably in a hurry. His boss probably thought he was on the clock. You ain't got time to stop and fucking wait on the side of the road.
What I can tell you, though, is if you're experiencing feeling rude, you can go over to Complete Ag Resolutions and Stan will slap you around a little bit.
That's right.
And, and he'll solve that problem.
And then after that happens, if you try to cause a fuss about it, he might just kick you in the nuts. He'll Rochambeau you for a combine wheel. So go check those guys out. They have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/Complete Ag Resolutions, believe it or not. The same as it has been. And speaking of Facebook and new friends, I guess we could get to we blabbered for a while. We can get to another topic. I asked some people on Facebook if they had any suggestions for topics. Our buddy that I mentioned earlier, Crosby Ringer, he's got some questions for us.
All right. I don't think I saw these.
No, he actually personally sent these to my page.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. I told him to leave a comment. Maybe he didn't want it out in the open. Maybe he didn't
Maybe he wanted to catch something.
He didn't want it
surprise.
To be spoiler. You know, if people knew what we were going to talk about, it wouldn't even be a surprise when we came on and said, number one, 10 do's and don'ts of gigging. Because he's new to gigging. He's in a band called Stepper. They actually took the place of Big Hammer Theory next Friday in 2 days. Next Friday, the very next Friday that we're having Dave Wilson's gig there at the Impulse.
At the Impulse.
So Crosby's coming down and rocking with his band Stepper. So, and he was picking my brain a little bit at the bikini gig, and he just kind of wants to know a little etiquette.
He wants to be professional when approaching gigs.
Exactly, and he's approaching it in a professional manner by researching it. So kudos to you, Crosby. I don't know if we can get maybe 5 of each, 10 do's and don'ts. I did not make a list. This will just be coming off the tops of our heads. I can start with one don't. I know you're not a drummer. You're a bass player. But one don't of gigging is don't tear your drum set down on the stage and put all your drums in their cases and take all the cymbals off the stands on the stage. So that's one don't.
Here's all right, I'll throw in a do right there. Do get do your stuff on stage and get it set up as fast as you can and do get it off the stage as fast as you can.
Yeah, the other do is the opposite of the first don't is just pick up your whole bass drum with the toms attached to it and carry it off the stage. Go grab your cymbal stands with the cymbals already on them, carry them off the stage. So you've got your whole kit off the stage in 20 seconds. If you've got a couple people helping you, you have it off there in 10 seconds. Next band who's waiting patiently, and there's probably fans waiting to see them, can get right up there, and then you can break down your stuff while they're setting up. It's just common courtesy. So there's one. That's actually two do's and don'ts. So we're down to four more apiece. What do you got for a don't? And I think it's a general vagueness of gigging. It doesn't have to be on stage. It could be with booking or the gigging, the whole gigging process, which includes.
I don't expect
people to show
too
up.
Much. I mean, don't expect any guarantees from like the venues or anything.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta work hard to get in there, and most of your gigs will probably come from trading with other bands, you know, and getting in there.
So then I'd say a do to that don't would be do, or did you say a do? A do that. A do, 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 do.
A do, do.
Crosby, you got us. Crosby, Stills, Nash, and do, 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 don't. Okay, here's what you don't want to do. Don't complain if to the sound guy or the booker if you end up playing last and you thought you were playing first or second or third, especially if you're a new band. You got to pay your dues, and they'll tell you you're headlining, but if they say you're playing last, just kind of bite your tongue and walk off and then tell your bandmates, fuck, man, we're playing last. Everybody's going to leave. That's going to happen. And then they're going to
enjoy it.
And then what's going to happen is that booker is going to say, dude, those guys didn't even complain and they were the out-of-town band and we made them play last. Next time, let's give them a better slot. And so there's a don't. Don't complain about your slot.
Yeah.
I'd say another don't would be don't be hard on the sound guy. I've seen a lot of bands who are just like, I need more of this in my monitor. And they're just a dick about it. And they're like, God, that sound guy's a dick. Oh, fuck, he's an idiot. He doesn't even know what he's doing.
There's a little bit of that going on over at the Dixie.
Now, I don't want to be hypocritical because I was in that situation myself, but it wasn't me. It was the audience saying, hey, we can't hear the vocals. We can't hear this. And so I think you guys remember the story of Hawaiian Shirt Guy.
Yeah.
And if you don't, just go back and listen to all the episodes and find it because it's in there somewhere. And I wasn't being a dick, I don't think. I was trying to be funny. And there's a fine line there. And if you're at a rock show, you might not be as open-minded as you would be at a comedy show when someone says, hey, Hawaiian Shirt Guy, I don't mind Hawaiian shirts.
I just don't think he was having fun doing his job.
So here's my, I guess, in a nutshell, just be kind to your sound guy, ask nicely for what you can get, and kind of be happy with what you get because they're not going to give you less than they're able to. They want to they want to do a good job. And they want to be called back for work, and they want the bands to like them. Now, I know there's every once in a while there'll be a guy out there that just is a dick for no reason because he had a shitty day and he wants to shit on everyone else's. I guess you can be a dick to them then. But you just got to be careful not to burn bridges at venues.
You do.
I don't know.
You do.
I don't know how many
there will be a lot of, you know, times when you'll want to burn those bridges.
And even if that wasn't 10 do's and don'ts, it equaled the time that it should have taken for 10 do's and don'ts.
I got another do.
Okay, one more doot to doot. Crosby, Stills, and Ringer.
Always ask for always ask for some drink tickets. What are they going to do, say no?
Yeah, if they don't offer you drink tickets right up, ask for them. Say, do we get drink tickets? And if there isn't an established guarantee of monetary value, don't be afraid to say, hey, are the bands getting any money? Do you need a door person? Because sometimes venues will say, yeah, we're charging $3 at the door, and you're going to split the door. And then you say, cool. And so you just go with that. And then you realize halfway through the night, there's no door guy.
Yeah.
No one's been taking money. It looks like we're not getting paid tonight. So, and if it even comes to one of your crew members or even a band member who's not busy at the time manning the door, If they're saying there's a cover charge and there's no one taking money, step up and say, I'll take money, because that way you can get some gas money. I know we're not in it for the money, like Frank Zappa.
We're just in it for the gas.
That's right. We're in it for the rock. Now, here's something I didn't have much on, but number two from Crosby is Secret Confessions of Things We've Done to Band Members, which I don't know if this means, like, consensual things that we've done to them. Crosby, what are you getting at? Is it all guys in your band? Things that we have done. I think this might mean, like, pranks while they're sleeping, maybe in the van. And that's what first came to my mind. Now, this wasn't a band member. It was a roadie. And I know you're listening, Dave, because I have faith in you like I do my friend Stan. Uh-huh. I don't know if you remember this or not, but this was one time after a gig, and we were at my house, and it'd probably been a few gigs. Who knows how long we'd been up or how long we'd been partying. Mm-hmm. And you had some joints, and you had one of them behind your ear, and you passed out on the couch. Well, me and Jeff Edmondson, we took your joint and we smoked it while you were sleeping. And then we proceeded to get a pack of Zigzags and roll up little pieces of paper because you were like out of it and you were sleeping with your mouth open.
Uh-huh.
And we were throwing little balls of paper into your mouth for like five minutes. And, you know, a lot of them would miss and bounce off your nose or bounce off wherever. Uh-huh. By the time your mouth got full enough and it started to obstruct your breathing, you kind of woke up and went, and a whole bunch of fucking paper balls came out of your mouth. And I'm sorry, dude. I apologize right now. But at the time, dude, we rolled. I fell out like I was on acid that night, and I wasn't. So that's my secret confession. I believe Dave already knew that. I think I tried to tell him the story a while back, and he didn't remember, and he punched me or said, "You fucker," or something. But that's a, you ever did anything?
Yeah, I have.
What'd you do?
I recorded. What was it? I think it was someone else's practice. It might have been the Indignance practice I was recording or something like that.
Was Stoke Brian was in that band or was that someone else?
No, this was Jared.
Oh,
and
Jared.
Tim. And Jared, I think it was Jared, but at the time, after he got done playing the drums, he was so excited, he yelled, "Ah, fuck me up the ass!" And I had that on tape. Ooh. So what I did is I took it and looped it and made it a 45-minute stretch playing with the pitch shifter and everything of just that phrase over and over. And then I took it over and played it for him.
Fucking awesome. You should have put like a beat to it or something. Like,
I was getting it in with the pitch. It'd be
like, you're like, "Oh, fuck me in the ass, fuck me in the ass, fuck me in the ass." Well, I wonder if that was just like a shout out to Adam Sandler's "Fuck me in the goat ass, man." That thing's fucking pointy.
He was just excited.
Well, so because they played a show?
Yeah. No, it wasn't even. I think he was just so excited because they had played the song so great.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. And he had a couple more questions, but I think we'll save those for Friday because no one else seemed to respond to my thing. So we'll just wait it out. And thanks for your questions and comments, Crosby.
I have a question for you.
Me?
Yeah.
I got an answer.
Have you seen that new Twix commercial?
You know, I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I don't watch a lot of commercials. I DVR a lot of my stuff, and then I skip commercials. But no, I do see some commercials, but
this Twix commercial is insinuating that the left Twix and the right Twix are made differently. Like one covers the chocolate, and the other one like layers it on.
So how do you know which one's
which? One dips in chocolate. I don't know. That's my first question. My second question is, are they really doing this? Or are they just trying to get us to what is going on?
I used to eat a lot of Twix back in the day, but I kind of lost my affinity, if you will, for them. But I want to try them, and I want to examine said Twix. Maybe get a four-pack and see if they might got three lefts and a right.
Wow.
Because they got the four packs. And that's another weird thing about the king size candy bars these days.
Uh-huh.
They're all like cut up into little pieces of little ones. Like, you just can't.
That's so you can't tell that they actually given you less.
They're giving you less, and they're trying to make you think that they're not approving you eating it all at once.
Do you eat your Twix singly, or have you ever just opened the thing and just bitten to both bars at once?
Oh, no, because they're not connected, so I just always ate them at one time. And sometimes I do the funny thing where you chomp really fast and just feed it into your mouth and go, kind of like on Tom and Jerry commercials or cartoons back in the day where they just chomp it up. I used to do crazy stuff like that with crackers and shit, and then I'd talk, and then crackers would fly everywhere, which is kind of stupid, funny comedy.
Yeah,
it's funny.
So what about Twix? Because they're connected, but kind of like in those sticks. Have you ever just
Kit Kat?
Yeah, the Kit Kat. Sorry, have you ever just bitten into one of those?
I saw a thing on Facebook. Yeah. Did you see that? Yeah. And it was the teeth marks of a bit right out of the corner, and someone said, "That's not how you eat it."
Yeah.
And it really made me think. I don't think I ever have. I always break them. I might have broke them in two and ate two at a time, but I don't ever think, because it's just not right.
It's too wide.
And if you're going to eat off the corner, then it fucks up the whole thing.
Even two, I don't know if I've done that, but I have eaten those Big Cats.
Have you ever put a whole pack of Rolos in your mouth at once?
No. Have you?
No. But when I eat Smarties, when I eat American Smarties, which I've been enjoying the last of my Canadian Smarties at home, I can only eat two or three of them, and then I get this weird nicotine taste in my mouth. But no, the little Smarties that are fruit-flavored?
Mm-hmm.
I eat those full packs. I just unroll them and pop the whole thing in my mouth. Yeah.
So are those sixlets?
Sixlets are pretty good.
Oh, man, I love those.
Yeah, and they've got those big, long packages that are size of a huge horse penis or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thanks for the questions. We're off that. Did you want to get to talking some shit?
Sure.
Get any further? I got a funny story about shit.
All right.
Just from the other day over in London, there's a place. It's called a Hamlet in Dorset.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been voted the most unfortunate name in Britain. Just announced last Wednesday. Shitterton.
Nice.
This place is known for its beautiful coast. The old city of Dorchester in the countryside is described by novelist Thomas Hardy. It's like three places in the top 10. But Scratchy Bottom was number 2. And then Happy Bottom just scraped in at the top 10. Broken Wind in Aberdeen, Scotland, is third place winner, followed by Crapstone and Golden Balls near Oxford. So these are all real places. Backside in Aberdeenshire. Aberdeenshire. Shitterton, it also lies right in the center of Piddle Valley.
Nice.
Piddle. So if I ever go over to the UK, I'm going to visit Shitterton, because it sounds like a shitty place to live or visit.
Yeah.
What do you got for shit talk today?
I'm going to tell everyone to stop trying so hard. Because excessive straining usually forms a thinner stool.
Wow.
Yep. You don't want to bear down because the contractions of the external anal sphincter, which is the sphincter, I guess, is the valve that opens in order to allow feces to exit the rectum. They defined it right here.
That's also the muscle that makes the dogs get caught together when they're having sex, because it goes past that muscle and then it contracts. And then when you spray them with cold water, then it uncontracts, or whatever you call it.
Oh, I see.
Contracts back. So, yeah, and I've heard of horror stories of people like being constipated or having the softball size thing that you had a couple weeks ago, and like pushing too hard and actually inside outing themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I don't want to do that.
Okay. So is that all you got?
Yeah, that's inside all I got.
I'm sorry to have put the visual of inside outing yourself. I'm pretty sure that I just coined that term right now. Inside, so like, if you're gay and you have to tell everybody, that's called outing yourself.
Nice.
When you push too hard, when you're trying to take a stool, that's called inside outing yourself. So I hope you guys can enjoy that.
Remember in the 80s, and I don't know, maybe they have these nowadays, but I think it's more reserved just for National Lampoon movies. But in the 80s, maybe it was just because there were so many small budget flicks rolling around.
Right.
There's a lot of hard body movies. Remember that?
Yeah.
I was just in the, you know, I mean, not even on the Porky's level, because Porky's was pretty mainstream, really.
Hey, remember the 80s?
Yeah. Man.
Goat Boy. Hey, remember the 80s? But anyway, speaking of 80s movies and Top Gun, Tony Ridley died.
Tony Scott?
Tony Ridley Scott.
Tony Scott, yeah.
No, his brother's Ridley Scott. I got confused for a second.
Yeah, he was the one that convinced Tom Cruise and those guys to get all shirtless, rub oil on each other, and...
And rumor has it that just like within the last year, they were working on a sequel to Top Gun.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what Tom Cruise said after his death.
Huh.
Did you hear that he killed himself?
Yeah.
He dove off a bridge and people saw him.
He did it in front of people.
That's fucking crazy shit.
He wanted to be seen and not heard.
And this is just my opinion, but that's what we're here for. I think that it might have had something to do with his brother overshadowing him after coming on the scene later.
Oh, you don't know the story?
No.
Inoperable brain cancer.
Oh, well, shoots my theory down.
Sorry.
That's all right. Can I still think
also,
that he also felt overshadowed by his brother?
He also felt overshadowed.
I mean, what do you got?
Yeah.
Prometheus?
He left, like, several suicide or letters to his friends in his car.
Wasn't Ridley Scott, like, Gladiator?
I think so.
Big blockbuster.
They worked quite a bit together, though, on
TV shows. Scott brothers. So yeah. Tony Scott dead, and also we'd like to cover
another. He was the undershadowed Scott brother,
We want to cover another celebrity death, Phyllis Diller.
I know.
Passed away.
Phyllis Dildo?
Yep. And she was one of the first female comedians to ever be signed by a major label.
Yeah.
She was the first female comedian to be allowed to do the roasts with Dean Martin and those guys back in the day. So,
oh, yeah. She was brought in.
She was a trailblazer.
She was brought in by Bob Hope.
Did you know she played for the Portland basketball team?
Yeah.
She was a trailblazer.
She was. She played right along.
And
she went by the name Bill Walton back then.
Kudos to Phyllis Diller for being 95 when she died, because that's old.
That is old.
She lived to be an old... what do you call it? An old chicken?
Yeah. You ever watch Family Feud?
I do. I was just watching it the other day, actually, with the guy from Home Improvement.
Really?
I know they got a black guy now.
Yeah, Steve Harvey.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, but dude, it was funny because I think of, like, Family Feud, and this was the question was, name something with white balls. And then, like, the number five answer was white dudes.
Seriously?
Yeah.
White
it was
dudes?
Like everybody, all the ladies on the side were like, oh, I was going to say that.
But I would have never thought.
Yeah, and then the next question was, what excites you or what gives you more pleasure than a man? And then there was like money, shopping. And then number four was vibrators, toys.
Wow.
It was a Family Feud.
That's fucking crazy. Vibrators and toys have white balls?
They do.
Wow.
Dude, they got some crazy topics on there.
100 people were surveyed. Top five answers on the board. Name something with cheese under its lip. I have no idea what that even means. So, any of our listeners who are familiar with our previous season, we would get long-winded and stuff at times, but we're going to expand to a full 3 episodes a week, so we're going to keep these at about 60 minutes if we can. So, we want to get to one last segment, which has kind of segued from one segment to the next. Anybody
where's
familiar?
Jerry?
Yeah, last segment was Where's Pat? I mean, last season, and we'd call Pat all the time, and not once out of 10 or more times did Pat ever answer.
No, or change his message.
Nope. So, this is kind of weird and connected in a way. Pat is the bass player for the Nirvana tribute band called Bleach, which has been on hiatus for quite some time. And
hiatus!
Jared Johnson is the drummer for the same band, and I play in that band too. Well, we haven't played a show in about 18 months. Can you believe that? 18 months.
Wow.
So, we talked at the Wow Hall, and Pat...
Wow.
Started to say that he was coming out of his shell and he wanted to practice.
Wow.
So we're going to call Jared once a week.
He's going to get scared once you call him, though.
We're going to call him Scared. Don't be scared, Jared. No, but I'm thinking he might answer because he'll think I'm calling to schedule a practice, which I'm not because Pat has not gotten a hold of me.
You have a plan when you get a hold of him, what you're going to do?
First, we're going to do like you said.
All right.
Oh, shit. What's going on? Can you hear it? Okay, we're calling Jared Johnson, former drummer from PB Army, and former drummer from Bleach. So I'm going to kick him out right now. Hey, this is Jared. I'm too drunk to come to the phone, so I'm going to let my voicemail take it. The person you are calling.
Hi, this is Jared. Leave a message. I'll call you back.
Sound like he was in a room with no furniture. Dude, did you record that message with a room with no furniture?
Because
you
could hear it. No,
you had great echo in there. Hey, it's the TagCast podcast.
Word up!
That's Dustin in my headphones in case you can't hear him.
Yeah.
Hey, it's the season premiere of season 2, episode 1, and you're the new recipient of Call Pat. We've passed the torch from Pat to Jared. So, hey, if you want to call us back within the next hour or so, We might still be around, and maybe we'll talk to you. Maybe we won't.
Yeah.
But hey, be around your phone once a week around this time and this day and answer it. Try not to drink 18 six-packs.
And don't mind if we call you Pat.
Yeah, don't mind if we call you Pat. That's what Dustin said, but I didn't have my headphones out. So, hey, call me back, Jared. We're probably not ever going to practice anytime soon, so give me a call. All right, bye. That was successful because it was nice to have him not answer on the first episode.
That was successful.
So, thanks, Jared, for not answering your phone. I'm sure you've had at least four 12-packs. Of soda, I meant.
Of soda.
Okay, so yeah, I think we probably, I don't know how it happened, but my list was completely depleted of plugs, and now it's like totally full. And hey, you want to mention some of the guests that we got coming up this month? I mean, this season?
Well, this season we have Dave Wambacher coming up here.
Super
Dave. We got Jesse Priest coming up.
Yep.
We have Will Woodruff coming up.
Got
Don. We hope to have Seth Milstein back in.
Oh, he'll be back for sure.
We have Don Thorpe from Fate 55 coming in.
Wow.
Local legend.
Those guys are big time.
Did I mention
newest edition?
Carl Sundberg
from K Fly, and we have guns.
Standard ass Carl, I do believe, right?
Yep. So we're gonna have a standard ass episode of our podcast.
Yeah. Hey, I can't wait. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that will be fun. And
Jared,
that's kind of what
Nelson. I think we're gonna schedule him.
Super
in there
fan,
somewhere.
Yeah. And you know, unbeknownst to me, which I should have known, he is a plethora of information.
He is.
As far as the local music scene goes in Oregon, so we're gonna probably have him on an episode, and maybe on a topical episode that covers Northwest rock and metal, or just Northwest music in general, because he's not very biased. He likes rock, he likes metal, he likes punk, he likes alternative, he likes music. So yeah, we got a lot of great guests, and I don't know what that means.
Oh, I was just going to do the plug separate this time and just tack them on at the end of the episodes.
Okay, that's cool, because we got a lot of them. But,
I figured that would allow us to run through them and condense them.
Okay, well, I think
more.
That we should at least do the ones coming up for this weekend.
All right.
Since it's Wednesday. And then we'll give you the full list on a separate one. Just because I was kind of segueing to the point of our guest, Carl. He'll be playing with his band this weekend. Now, I'm going to be doing some shows, but if you're not in that area, I encourage you to go to the Eugene Metal Celebration number 2, which is EMC squared, if you look at it right.
EMC
Eugene
squared.
Metal Celebration 2. Get it? At the Black Forest, it's 3 days of metal, and on the second day, which is Friday, the 24th, We Have Guns is playing. So I want you to go check out Carl's band at the Black Forest with Decontinuum, formerly Lawden, and I believe Kenosis is playing that night too. But we'll give you the full list on the plugs breakdown. I guess that's a new thing. And Dustin tried to give me a note on the air here, but I did not know what he was talking about.
If you want.
Oh, no, there's way too many, and we've only got 5 minutes left. So so we'll do a wrap-up. But, yeah, the Eugene Metal Celebration is 3 days, and they're free shows.
3 days.
A total of, like, 14 bands.
Bam.
Boom. Bam. Including bands like I Am Ruin, Gene Grey, Only Nightmares, Dirt Nap, Antique Scream, and Christos. I don't even know
I
half
love
those.
Naps, but not dirt naps.
Hey, and if there's anybody from Portland that's listening, it's going to be my birthday on Saturday. I'm going to be 21.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I'm going to be heading up to the Cannabis Cafe in Portland.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to be doing some comedy with Boomer and friends at the High Court of Comedy. That's on 82nd. And if you are over 18 and you have $5 and an OMPP card, OMPP, come on up. And if you don't know what an OMPP card is, that means you don't have one. And so don't come.
Or you can go pee-pee.
You can go OMPP. So, yeah, I think that was the only other one I wanted to touch on. But, man, do we got some good stuff coming up.
Hey, yeah.
And so, yeah, we still got about 3 or 4 minutes before we get out of here. You got any last thoughts for the first episode?
Well, we can tag on the plugs, though. It'll be about an hour.
Oh, yeah. We're going to tag it on to the episode?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm pretty smart, aren't I? Sometimes I just amaze myself with my... Amazing,
that's fine.
Amazing.
What was
Hey, did we ever get a confirmation for a Friday show for a guest?
No, we didn't get any confirmation.
All right, then I think we're going to be just doing a duo again on
duo. Unless somebody shows up here within a view.
Yeah, if someone just rolls in, like the ice cream truck went by earlier, and they changed their song.
Hey, we might get them going on.
They changed it from Music Box Dancer to Small World from the fucking
Time
Disney.
To dance,
God, Disney World. So.
I would like everybody to go. I'm starting a new business. I'm going to plug my own business here, but I will now pop back zits for $5 each or a dozen for 36.
I tell you what, dude, you're infringing on someone's property.
Am I?
Not property. My wife loves that shit.
Really?
My wife will just go to town. I don't let her because it's painful.
Yeah.
She does it on her son, though, and it's pretty gross. But I don't know. There's a lot of ladies out there that really enjoy popping the back zits. Which I don't understand why, especially if you watch one of those videos. Like, have you seen some of those?
The popular one is a boil.
But will you do those?
A boil should be lanced.
So, I heard he might be looking for a job anyway, so maybe he could be a back zit popper. All right, so you guys, thanks for listening to episode one, which I don't know if we're going to keep a running episode in our minds, but this is actually like episode 38.
Yeah, I don't even know, do we have an image for the season?
No, we've been asking people for caricatures, but I got a friend named Glenn Smith the second on Facebook that I used to work with a country coach, and he said I can draw caricatures, and I told him there was $20 in it for him and some free. I mean, he doesn't have a business, but I'm sure he could think of something to promote.
He got somebody else working in the works too. I think we just need a couple good pictures, maybe.
He asked if
we'll see what can happen though.
Well, I sent him the one of our business card with those pictures on it, the image on a computer, and then he goes, "Are you living in Eugene? Maybe I could bring it to you." And I was like, "No, actually, I'm closer to Albany, but." Maybe you could scan it into your computer and, like, email it to me like a normal human being does in this day and age. If you're listening, Glenn, sorry, buddy. But, yeah, we're looking for some caricatures. We do not have a new image, but we'll just – maybe we'll put the karate one up.
All right.
I think that one's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And if you guys don't like it
– another season.
If you guys don't like it, you can let us know.
Or fuck off.
Fuck off.
Wank off.
Fuck off. All right,
go
thanks for listening,
to,
you guys.
Wanker Town, Oregon.
Where's that? Oh, Wankerville.
Wankerville.
Yeah, we'll have to listen back to that episode to hear all those great names like Shitterton. And so we're sticking with the same outro music. Thanks, Floyd, for dabbling in espionage as you do. Like I said before, when I hear this song, I just think Tagcast Podcast.
Yeah, I do too.
So that's a good one. And check out this timer. We're rolling up right to 60 minutes with Mike Wallace.
Thank you, and rock on.
Metal. All right, hey, all you listeners, we're adding a new little plug part here that we add at the end, so I'm going to give you the shows that are coming up, and there's a lot of them right now, so pay attention. August 24th, Willamette Valley Local Music Scene presents Audiophobia, Stepper, and Bikini at the Impulse Bar in Corvallis. That's at 9 o'clock. It's 21 and over, $3 at the door, 1425 Northwest Monroe in Corvallis. And then August 23rd through the 25th, that's the Eugene Metal Celebration 2 at Black Forest. It starts at 9 on Thursday and Friday and 8 p.m. on Sunday. Thursday show has Christos, Alias, Antique Scream, and Purpose of Silence. Friday show features We Have Guns, Decontinuum, and Kenosis, and another band. I'm not sure who it is because the other band canceled and they've been replaced. And then Saturday show on my birthday is 6 metal bands, and all these shows are free. Dirt Nap, Only Nightmares, The Entity, I Am Ruin, Jean Grey, and Pantheon. So go down to the Black Forest, or we like to call it Blackout Forest, 50 East 11th in Eugene. On August 30th, I'll be doing a set of comedy at the Locals Only Comedy Showcase at the Granary Pizza in Eugene with Seth Milstein and friends. 9 p.m., $5 at the door, 259 East 5th Avenue in Eugene. September 2nd, we got a big show coming up to Portland, Sizzle Fest at Plan B. Check out this lineup. Yob, Lord Dying, Taurus, Thrones, Rabbits, Party Foul, Weird Fear, DRC3, and Billions and Billions, and one other band called Redneck. Doors open at 4 o'clock. It's at Plan B in Portland. You'll have to check the address on that one because I don't have it. It's 21 and over. It's a sliding scale at the door, $10 to $20, depending on what you want to donate, because it's a benefit for a worker from Sizzle Pie Restaurants, which I think is a pizza place in Portland. So go check that out, Yob, before they hit the road for a while. September 7th, Wow Hall is hosting a tribute night with Alice in Chains tribute band Sick Man, Venom tribute Bloodlust, Ministry tribute Thieves, and non-tribute band Elohim, which is kind of black death metal. That's at the Wow Hall, September 7th. It's a Friday night, 8:30 p.m., all ages, $5 at the door. September 8th, we got Black Hair, Awake, Glad Hander, and Sons of Confusion at the Dixie Creek Saloon. It's a free show, starts at 8:30, 21 and over. September 9th, the Down and Dirty Comedy Showcase. I'll be appearing there at the Ash Street Saloon in Portland with Patrick Perkins, Xander Devereaux, Trevor Thorpe, Marcus Gibson, Iris Gorman, and Lonnie Brune. If anyone's seen Lonnie Brune before, you know that you want to check that out. This Down and Dirty Comedy Showcase is not for the weak at heart. It's going to be a little nastier than normal, so if you're offended easily, send your friends. It's $5 at the door. We might have an open mic or an improv thing going on afterwards. September 15th, Comedy Showcase number 3 at the Dixie Creek Saloon with Chris Castles, Andy Bradwin, Mac Chase, and Jesse Priest with our host, Dustin Gatchel.
Yeah.
I will be there as well. 9:30 is that showtime, 21 and over, free show. And here's the last one for locals, Portland, Oregon, September 21st through 23rd. It's Sickness in September, a three-day death metal festival at the Red Room. My band, Drosera, will be playing a special instrumental set, as we don't have a singer yet, with other bands like Dead in a Ditch and Spawn. Day two has bands like Truculus, Otis from Nevada, Compulsive Slasher. Day three, you can check out Hyborian Rage with Dan from Truculence and a bunch of other bands. It's 3:30 on Friday and 2 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday. It's 21 and over, $10 per day or $20 for a three-day pass. So, yeah, go check out some of those shows. Lots of cool stuff coming up. And for all you death metal heads, Napalm Death is finally coming back to Portland for a show at the Hawthorne Theater on November 11th. So check that out. Thanks for listening. That has been your concert calendar update. My name is Terry Guile. Thanks for listening to the TagCast Podcast.
TagCast Podcast. .com.
Dude, what are you doing in the rain?
I'm just standing here waiting for my ride.
Did I get a quarter? You got a quarter?
No, I'm just waiting for my ride. I don't have any money.
Where are you going?
None of your business.
You don't sound like you're very happy.
I'm just standing in the rain.
Well, that's shitty. You know what you could do to make yourself feel better?
What?
Listen to some Frank Zappa.
Who?
Frank Zappa.
Frank Zappa.
Yeah, he's an old music composer who passed away in the 90s.
Really?
Yeah, he has some awesome albums, over 70 albums.
What?
Yeah, and you can actually hear about each and every album on a new thing called the ZappaCast.
What?
Yeah, with Terry and Gatz, the same guys from TagCast.
Well, I'll check that out.
Check it out at www.zappacast.com.